Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. It's episode 620.
It's a lot.
This one was recorded at the Archery Trade Show 2024. We caught up with the homies, Michael Waddell, Nick Munt.
It's always good to catch up with them boys.
Yeah, it's funny. We've now learned how to pick something and just let Waddell just go in on it. And it's so fun. And that's what we did on this episode. We're drinking a couple beers, having a good time. Obviously, like, we're kind of fucking around this entire episode, which is like, it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's funny.
We could almost ask him one question, just walk away.
I love it, dude.
For an hour.
I love it. I just think of something that he's going to like feel strongly about and just let him rip.
I think that's about any conversation, though, with Waddy. I think he can bring up anything and he's going to have a passionate view on it.
Yeah, that's why he's good, you know?
What do you think about turtles?
He's like, you know what? Straws, man. They need to make more straws so we can kill more turtles. I hate them. No, he would never say that. But the podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. I'm shooting that new Midnight Copper, baby.
That new.
I know. It's actually at Snort Wee Scotty's place right now. He's
Snort and Wee's?
Snort and Wee Scotty. Yeah. He's setting it up. A lot of people are in your defense on that Snort and Wee's comment.
They should be, because I have a great argument for that.
Yeah, you're dumb.
Yeah. Not in any way, shape, or form.
You're dumb.
If you're so smart, Doug, tell me what your favorite thing from Big Time is right now.
It'd be the feed right now.
Nope. So. Wrong answer.
It'd be the Lick Brick.
What flavor?
Pear.
That a boy.
Lick Brick. Pear. Go.
Pear bricks.
Throw it out.
Bricks of pear.
Have you licked a pear Lick Brick?
Not yet, but I'm gonna. I gotta test the product before I get to the deer.
Good enough for me. Code WCB 2024. Lee, why do you like Huntworth now? Because you're new to the Huntworth game as well.
So actually, I've never really been a digital camo guy, but I got, is it Disruption, right? Is the digital camo. But when it's on, it's sexy.
I feel like a superhero.
I do feel like a superhero.
It's comfy.
I'm a vest fan. Is it the Shelton hoodie has the face mask built in?
Mm-hmm.
That one's fire. And honestly, I don't have the heat boost. I have an older generation.
Yeah.
But it's way warmer than any set of camo I've ever had.
That combination with that hoodie and that vest is slick. I like that a lot.
It is the combo.
Yeah.
We had that negative 30 degree weather in Iowa a couple weeks ago, and I was out putting feet out and stuff, and I mean, in the sweatshirt and the vest, and I had bibs on too, but I had the Huntworth bibs, but fire.
We're like slowly getting Lee switched over from all his gay ways.
Hey,
code WCB15 moving on.
It's nice, isn't it?
Old Barn Tap. I knew Lee was going to make a point, so I just got
run right over the top of it.
Let's keep going. Cool.
You fucked me.
Old Barn Taxidermy, that's where we get all our stuff mounted, you know. The girls at Old Barn are the best. Austin somehow found a loophole, and now his wife works there. I don't know what kind of strings
that guy's always working on something.
Yeah, I don't. You know what?
He's got a big
plan.
It
makes me uncomfortable. But Old Barn's the best in the game. Trophy Line, everything at Trophy Line. Code WCB if you're getting into a saddle, a platform. If you're looking forward to getting into that Hyperlite stuff, keep an eye out for that. Code WCB. Grizzly Hunting Blinds and Coolers.
Revamped everything. The drinkware's the shit. The hunting blinds are the shit.
New coolers are the shit. They got a 750 quart now.
They have luggage.
Luggage?
They have a 750?
450.
450.
Or 450, yeah. Sorry.
Like 750? 450.
That is giant.
We're killing giraffes and putting giraffe meat in it. Code WCB, everything at Grizzly. Blackgate trail cameras. Code WCB10. I like them all. There's two models. I'm gonna get that lawnmower battery hack going on some of my cameras, though, like Austin figured out.
RG4 is where it's at.
RG4 is the move.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is the move. Code WCB10 saves you money. Blackgate. Also, Black Ovis. Everything is always available at Black Ovis, from crispy boots to sleeping pads to backcountry tents to
jet boils, whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Black Ovis has it. Much. Code WCB there. My new whitetail boots, crispy shimmick, is what I'm rocking there. Love it. The Novix hybrid stand is coming. Get yourself into a Hilo, an Echo. I think
in the new colors.
God, I love the Hilo. That's my stand.
Hilo is a stand.
That's stamped mine. WCB Hilo. Do it.
Oh, we can't use it.
Nope, it's mine.
No one else can use it.
I claimed it. You have to pick your own. It's my favorite. As my son would say, no, that's my favorite color. Nobody can have my favorite color.
Take it easy.
Say it. Don't spray it, brother.
Also, Mountain Ops. You can use code WCB at Mountain Ops. That saves you 20%. It donates 5 meals to the Conquer Hunger, which is a good thing. So why would you not use our fucking code and donate 5 meals to kids who are hungry?
Just do it.
That's right. What I'm saying.
What are you, some sort of asshole?
Whoa. A little aggressive.
I'm just saying.
We're using some Mountain Ops right now.
Yeah, we're drinking Wild Orchard Enduro with some rum, and that is a good blend.
It's phenomenal.
Message us for more Mountain Ops and alcohol tips. It's not how they traditionally advertise, but that's why they have us.
We're testing everything.
Oh, dude,
hydrate and dehydrate at the same time.
Dude,
it's a wash.
It's a wash.
You can't be a productive alcoholic if you're always dehydrated.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mountain Ops, sorry about that. That's just all. That's us. That's what we do.
They know.
They know. They're like, yeah.
Our bad. It's not you. It's me.
Exactly. It's one. And DeerCast. We have a direct link to DeerCast to save you some money on the code or on your next DeerCast subscription, from WinCheck to DeerCast Track. I love it all.
Waypoints, where you find your sheds.
Yeah, that's a good point. I use off-season that as my daily scouting. Weather app, everything. So get on there. Episode description is the link. You can click that. Or if it's easier, just go to our website and you'll just click the DeerCast icon underneath the partners tab and it'll go there. Loophole Optics. Doug, besides binos, give me something Loophole you like.
Mm.
Actually, I'm wearing the performance I wear right now as I speak to you. Does it feel weird? Can you see my eyes?
No, I can't.
No, we see ourselves, though.
It's tripping me out from over here, honestly, that you have those on.
I might just wear these on every podcast.
But you actually know what I really like and get a lot of compliments on?
What?
The Loophole jacket.
Yep.
I got you threw us through a loophole
and
on
the
that.
Tan one. The tan one gets a lot of compliments.
Wait, well, easy.
I'm looking good.
I'm looking good.
Okay, did you just use this Loophole ad to compliment yourself?
No, dude.
Yes, you did. I feel like you spun this around to make you feel good.
I would never, dude. What are you talking about?
I get lots of comments.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you could get some lot of compliments, too, if you had a Loophole jacket on.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
I recommend the tan.
Underrated plug for Loophole there, but that was pretty good. Okay. I'm impressed.
Look good, feel good.
I bet you do get a lot of compliments because you did think of it. To say that, so
I'm just saying what's happening in real life.
It's real.
It's not bullshit.
All right. The podcast is also brought to you by Dialed Archery. The Arxos, I think, is the sexiest bow sight available in the universe.
Yep.
It's functions great. Obviously, if you listen to that episode, Scott breaks it all down. It's functioning and sexy. It's like a hot chick who's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which you never really get. Both.
Example,
right? You get hot or crazy or.
Hot and
really cool and not hot.
Yeah.
Hot and doesn't work.
It's a dance, right? And Dialed has figured out the dance. Code working class saves you, gets you free shipping. And if you missed a small batch WCB void dials, we're sorry. Maybe there'll be another. Should we get on to this episode with the boys?
Let's do it.
It's a fun one. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class bow hunter. We're here with the Michael and Nick. What's up?
What's up,
man?
What's up?
Hey, that gobble was almost perfect.
That was really good.
I got to first of all start with a salute to my homeboys right here, working class bow hunters.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks, appreciate
my
that.
Opinion.
Many years.
Hunting
fellas.
Industries.
Many years.
Yeah, we've been.
Best podcast, man. Oh, you guys have been killing it.
That's high praise, brother. Appreciate
good job,
it.
Absolutely.
High praise.
Yep.
I should probably take the Busch Light. I don't know why. I somehow got a little whiskey sip here. I don't know.
Mother's Milk. We're going to call it Mother's Milk until they sponsor us finally. Oh. But
yeah, come on, Busch Light. Get on.
What the hell? We're not politically correct.
Well, see, I don't feel like I'm perfectly that way either.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I really love you guys, because that proves that maybe y'all not. But that makes you, to me, correct. So who cares about politics?
Oh, we suck.
So if you're not politically correct, wouldn't that be politically uncorrect?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere.
It's a brain
about that Busch Light.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, here's like we talked last year, I think it's like they got us. They don't need to pay us for buying it anyway.
Well, but you know, but you can do this kind of thing, like.
Oh, God.
I don't even have a fucking koozie.
You
right
slip now. A little. Just to get sexy.
It's trying so hard to get into the microbrewery, and they cannot. And they're like, "Screw it, we're going back to Busch Light."
Dude, yeah.
At it's least hard
not,
times.
At least we're not drinking like a beer with the word ice in it.
That's true.
Paper
bag. We're just
we're all blessed. We never had to cough in the cough muffler or the deer view mirror.
Yeah, the deer view mirror. Well, yeah, we're gonna start calling it the White Trash Bowhunter Podcast. You know, just like really stoop to the ultimate low levels.
Right.
But
dude,
what's up, boys? How you guys been?
Man, good.
Tipping shit over like usual. It's good to see you.
Yeah, been whacking a few things. I didn't have like the best year. Nick had a pretty solid year. I mean, it was a good year.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you, man. Breathing air and just being able to get somewhere is good enough for me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and that's us. We just like a good time anyway. So the year is always a bonus. And I know people say that because it sounds cool, but we really are that way.
Yeah, sure.
We really are.
Yeah.
We have, you know, just getting to go the places that we go. We're lucky to hunt those places, but when you have fun dudes in camp, and you can cut up, and nobody really. We're serious hunters, but we don't put all the emphasis on the hunt. It's
for
more about having fun.
We definitely don't take ourselves serious.
Yeah.
Right.
Even when we're serious about the hunt, we're not serious
and
about
it. He always says that he came up with it. He says, you know, there's definitely people that can out hunt us, but, you know, nobody's going to out fun us. So
that's right.
That's what it's all about.
That's what's the coolest thing. It's like,
that's
a
great way to put it.
I actually made social media is like the devil, but I made a post that's like, you know, everyone, we've been doing this 9 years, you know, this year, which to me it's like,
God, that went by so fast.
Crazy.
So fast.
You know?
I wouldn't even have thought that because, I mean, that's boom.
Well, it's just nuts. It's like, wow, we've been in it long enough. Like, we've kind of seen the podcast game because it was non-existent.
It was.
When we started,
10 years ago, really. I mean, it was, but not, like, really. But, you know, it's like, oh, it's like everyone that ever hated us, like, we're for sure having more fun than you. Like,
heck yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Like,
and guess
100%.
What? We ain't going anywhere either.
No.
Yeah.
We're staying right here.
Yeah.
We here.
Yeah, that's like the cool thing. It's like anyone that's like, we're for sure having more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and unapologetically, it's like, yeah, fuck you guys if there's a problem with it.
Well, it comes easy.
Exactly.
It
there's
comes
nothing
easy.
Wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It comes easy if you can't have fun, just stay at home because – we're having fun.
Why not, man?
Dude, some people can't. They have a problem with it. You can't
some
have too much
get
fun.
So serious and
it bothers them.
Yep.
Some people don't like to have fun, or they think they do, but they don't know how. And they dang sure don't know how to celebrate somebody else's fun or success. And so I think that's it, too. It's just it gets into a weird place, you know.
People are miserable, man, and a lot of times in their spot. And I think they, you know, just get to a point where they're miserable, dude, and they just, like, they can't.
They got to hate on everyone
else.
They
got nothing else to do, and that sucks. It's a real bummer.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that social media does to people.
Yeah.
You know, it puts you – it makes you feel inferior.
Fucks you up your brain chemistry.
It does, man. Yeah. It's literally like an epidemic. You know, you got all these kids that are looking at stuff that they don't have or they want, or even adults. I mean, look at how many people are looking at all these deer. Like, it happens to me. Like, I'm sitting at home in November, and I'm scrolling through, and people are shooting deer. Doesn't have anything to do with size. It's just being there. You know, I want to be out there. I want to be gone.
Yeah.
And man, it's just like eating at me. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I'm sitting home when I could be out hunting somewhere. And I mean, it has a huge effect on people.
Oh, yeah, it does. No, it's definitely a drug.
Yeah,
for sure, man.
And it's a facade too, because it's such a visible reality of what you see, but it's such a facade of a lie, because you can paint a picture. It's like an art. You don't know. I mean, you don't know. Dude, you know,
it's the devil. I deleted TikTok off my phone. I'm getting ready to, like, you know, some things we need to have for our brand, but it's like, just TikTok being off my phone, I'm like, feel better, you know.
If I said, if it wasn't for a marketplace or the podcast, I wouldn't have Facebook.
Marketplace is cool.
Marketplace is wild.
I love Marketplace.
Yeah.
It is amazing, man. It's like, we've all experienced it, but like, our cell phones are such addicting tools anyway. But as soon as you lose it or leave it, we've all done it. Like, let's say you just take off and you leave it in a hotel room, or you leave it on your nightstand. The first couple hours is mayhem, like you're having anxiety attacks and
it's
stuff.
Panic.
And then all of a sudden it becomes like such a peace. It's like,
wow.
Hmm. You know, checking the traps is so much fun.
It's like the 90s again.
It is the 90s.
Not that I knew I was an adult in the 90s.
But it is.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And like where I live, I'm basically an hour outside of Minneapolis. You know, from Minneapolis northeast to where I live, right on the St. Croix River, it's solid people the whole way, you know, little towns and like a megalopolis kind of thing. But at my house, I don't have very good service on my phone. I mean, so it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times my phone won't even ring because I don't get service there, which is crazy.
Right.
But once in a while, it's kind of like, man, I don't even have to lie and say I don't have service. You know? It's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah,
sometimes.
No.
And
that's nice problem. About bear hunting, you know, every year, because
like get
up
it
in Saskatchewan or somewhere in Manitoba,
we were in Wyoming. You know, you didn't have any service out there. It's kind of that reset button every year. You know, you kind of like, don't need my phone.
It's nice.
Don't need that shit.
You pick it up and scroll through, and you've looked at the same things like 10 times. And it hasn't refreshed at all.
Yeah, it's just cleavage and big beer is my algorithm. What the hell? What's going on here?
Who puts on my phone?
No, my wife never looks at my TikTok algorithm. It's like, why is there so many tits on this thing? I don't know.
How did this happen?
It just knows I'm a dude, I guess.
How did the algorithm know?
I just said I wanted to learn about DIY,
this is
do-it-yourself, how to do hardwood floors and some hunting. Yeah. I don't know how I got this chick down.
I'm trying to learn how to tile a shower.
This is disgusting. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, I went to morning wood is the hardest wood, and all I wanted to know is about floors.
Right, yeah. You're trying to waterproof a shower here, and I got tits in my face.
It leads back to tits.
Yeah, it's like,
it always gets to tits.
Yeah, it always does. It's, it's a devil, right? You know?
Yeah.
Dude, all right. I don't want to do this to you.
You can, though.
But last year, I got y'all worked up on the turkeys.
Yes.
And I apologize for that.
That's okay. No, you don't have to apologize, because it's worthy of getting worked
up. I'm not really that sorry about it.
No, I know. I know deep down.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I can see a gleam in your eye. Like, right when I snap, it's like,
you know where
I feel
I'm
sorry. No, I don't.
You know where I'm going right now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know where I'm going?
I don't, but I'm game. I'm good.
I feel like I got a touch of Asperger's and Jesus just wants to talk to you about a few things.
God, no, we did go there, baby. We go. God, no, go full metal.
What the hell, brother? You're getting shit on by felons.
Well, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if he was dissing me or if he was giving me respect. I think it was a little of both.
Yeah.
But I think it was mainly just the redemption of him trying to figure out, you know, his autism case and sins of his father. And look, man, two things I ain't afraid of: a damn goblin turkey or grizzly bear or him, you know. And it's funny, like, I heard all kind of stuff from the cage match and stuff, and it's like, man,
I didn't know about the cage match thing.
Well, you know? I didn't know it at that detail. I didn't know it'd been organized and all. You know,
so Dana White's like, all right, we're
it's like I've always had, you know, obviously, you know, we're talking about Chris Brackett. I've always had, actually, despite what a lot of people think. I've always had a lot of – here's my deal. I've had a lot of respect for what he did, especially in Arrow Infliction. And
dude, that show was kick-ass.
It was kick-ass. And my thing is, I'm really not a hater, but I do hate the haters. I hate the haters.
Right.
For me, when I hear or see or do or see somebody doing something that I think is innovative, even if it's a lane that I might not understand, I'm like, yes, this is freaking awesome, man. It's like, you know, it's like comedy tour. Like if you see somebody that's got a certain flair or a certain vibe of comedy, it's different. It's like, man, that's cool. This dude can make people laugh and he don't even cuss. Well, this guy's over here still busting out the Eddie Murphy Raw type stuff.
Right,
it's funny, too.
Yeah.
But, Theo Von.
Theo Von's a prime example.
He's in his own world over there.
And just love the dude, man. But I've noticed I've started gravitating to more secure people and people that are not necessarily got a void that can't be filled. And I think there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in our hunting industry, which I've always been pretty vocal that – you know, I'm a fan of the people that support the industry, but not the biggest fan sometimes of the industry because, you know, it's like what I look at is to me, like, you know, even though we're drinking Bush Light and drinking a little whiskey, I love Jesus and I'm a big fan of Jesus, but I'm not a big fan of religion. So for me, I look at it the same. And so inevitably.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, inevitably, inevitably, you know, when it comes to the hunting culture, I'm in this because of that, not because there was an industry and not because there was a TV show or not because we might evolve to getting a chance to be on podcasts like you guys have innovated, which, you know, you guys are the OGs in it. I mean, it's funny because you guys are young, y'all kick ass, but a lot of people don't realize there was not any really podcast worthy of listening to in the hunting space. Yeah, you could go listen to, you know, Joe Rogan might have been one of the first guys. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember listening to some, but it was like crime shows. He was like,
it was like white about, women murder mystery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, we got to find this girl, man. She's still missing after all these years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's just, I'm not that guy. I've never been the guy that's mad or jealous because I have a tremendous amount of confidence and security, yet I have a tremendous amount of humbleness. And so does Nick. So does T-Bone. But, I don't know, man. It's like to me, I'm frustrated. I was a little frustrated because I'm thinking, man, and I'm sure. Chris,
and I'm not trying to stir it up.
No.
You got to have a chance to talk.
I'm sure Chris will hear this, and he's got my number.
Just
I got his. And I've always respected what he's done.
Yeah.
And but you know, as he did, and as I have done, and we all done, there's a thing called accountability. Sometimes you screw up and make a flagrant dumb mistake, and that's it. There's nobody to blame but the person that's looking in the mirror. It's not anything else. And I think that's a big problem that we struck with American society these days. It's always somebody else's fault. I've been there. I've done dumb stuff, man. Look, man, I was a young kid at the ATA here, man. And dude, I was trying to be at every party. It was, man. I was trying to get with it.
Yeah, we used to too. Yeah.
And you want to be there. And when you do
that, too.
We just never got in.
We'll see you later.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I remember
you guys
back
partying.
In the day, yeah.
I thought y'all just went home and watched sports.
Yeah. I would never.
Yeah, we are.
But anyway, like I said, I could go on forever, but I won't. But I will say, man, I'm just for anyone that's you know, conceptualizing any type of content for the space, I'm a fan of people making a difference and getting in the lane and knocking it out. And I'm going to be right there. And if they don't believe me, just test me. I'm going to celebrate it with you, even if I don't completely understand it. And, you know, I use examples like the hunting public. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I understand everything of their experience that they're going after? Not every time. Every show I don't dig as much as others, but that's the same if they probably watch Bone Collector. Sometimes me and Nick are being goofballs and chasing squirrels, and that's it. Nobody killed a big buck.
Yeah.
You know, Seek One, those guys with the urban deer hunting. I freaking love it. I've been listening to the podcast with the gentleman who's doing the thermal deer track, and I'm so intrigued oh my God, that's, you guys are right, that's going to change the industry. So I'm all about it. I'm like, man, I'd love to get behind this because this could be bigger than, we could learn more from this than a lot of the biologists have done for years and put sound machines and freaking deer trackers and whatever collars.
Deer counters.
Deer counters. Like, how
deer
about
whistles?
Click, my God, it's just, have we realized it's technology? We can fly up and see these things. So
right,
for
right.
me, for me, you know, insecure people this way, and I know, I can tell you this, our crew is very secure. Bone Collector is very secure in what we do and where we at. And with that, we want to celebrate. We don't want to hate. And
right.
And sometimes people think you got to get to the top by hating on another thing that you think might be above or below
somebody
you. We never rank ourselves. Right, yeah, I never rank ourselves and say, well, we're up here, you know, by God, open the door for us or whatever. No, we're all the same. We're just in this space. We're all survivors. We're all trying to make a living. We're all trying to have a good time.
Yeah, for
enjoy
sure.
a cold beer, tell a story, hunt a deer, chase a turkey.
Yep.
You know, hopefully we can, you know, see our families joyful and happy, and our wives are secure at home in a warm house, or they're with us, you know, here to enjoy a nice steak dinner. It's really simple shit in life.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
people forget, and I'm not going to dictate talking so much as I sometimes do on a podcast, because I know we all got a lot of experiences to share. But my theory on life, Nick's already asleep.
Wow.
But Nick and I have thought about this together a little bit, but I've come up with a theory, and Nick and I, as well as T-Bone, we've been really blessed to meet some really interesting people. And through that, almost every person we've ever met, whether it's within the industry and especially out of the industry, they're so intrigued with our lifestyle. And I think they're more intrigued not with the trophy animals. They're intrigued with the simplicity of what country boys and girls live by, our code, of our laughter, of our jokes, of our of our warmth, of our hospitality, of our wives and us being the first. I walk in here, and we're buddies. We all know each other well now.
Yeah.
First thing, man, it's a cold beer. Y'all crack it open for me.
Yeah.
That's what you call friendship.
Speaking
and hospitality.
Of that, I need another
one. Yeah. It's hospitality.
I'll take
one,
too.
You come to my house, and my wife is immediately going to get you a glass of sweet tea or a cold beer or a cocktail.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Vice versa. I'm sure it'll be the same around y'all's house.
Yep.
So inevitably, I think people outside of our industry, and even some, are intrigued with this lifestyle that we call country or hunters or whatever we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And so inevitably, I finally come to the conclusion, talking to, like Nick and I met a really cool, I guess you could call him a famous guitar player and another songwriter as we was hunting out in Oklahoma. And they were from L.A., and we got to talking to him. And I could tell a light bulb went off in his head, but when I said it, it went off for me, and I think it went off for Nick. And he said, man, I'm so intrigued with hunting. He said, man, I just realized that I grew up and I don't know how to do any of this stuff. I've never even had deer meat until I ate it today. He was Nick and I fed him some.
And he talked about, and sorry to interrupt you, but he talked. Yeah. He was talking about, you know, everybody's talking about what could happen here with this
the government
war that possibly could go on.
Right.
How am I going to provide for my family if we run out of electricity or we can't go to the grocery store?
And, another thing he said, so we touched on the reality of survival, and if it sounds pretty straightforward, but survival in a crazy time. And then second of all, you know, if you live that L.A. and that kind of artificial materialistic life, he was talking about, he said, man, all my friends like me, he said, are buying Ferraris, they're buying these, you know, really expensive cars. He said, I don't catch myself with that, and I don't want to keep up with the Joneses. So what he was kind of admitting is that I'm making a lot of money, he's very successful, but he was kind of self-admitting that I'm not sure if this is what it's about. And basically, I looked at him, I said, man, his name was Nick, super intelligent, unbelievable guitar player. I said, let me tell you, buddy, I said, I'm going to tell you something, man. Here's how I judge where you're at in life. If you were to lose it all, would you be happier or would you be more depressed? If you think about it, it's deep.
It's deep.
If you lose it all, all goes away. Now think about it. Most of us have traded cell phone numbers. We know what we do. We know what we like. You know, I heard, you know, when you went to Africa and had that experience. I know when y'all get a good buck in Ohio, I see it, man. I can see it on social media. Yep. But all of a sudden, this all goes away. But somehow we can still get in touch with each other. What have we built in life, in relationships, with our family? And what do we have if we have to move out of this nicer house or maybe park the jacked up, you know, Chevy that we put the chip in? You have to think about it at this point where we're in the hustle and bustle. Would you gain or would you lose? Mm-hmm. And so if you ain't set your house up and your life up to where right now this is a benefit, it's cool. We all going to eat a nice steak tonight. Y'all got a nice dinner y'all going to with a partner. So do we. It's such a blessing, man.
For sure.
However, you know, I got a wife and youngin' at home, and, you know, I got kids. I got one youngin' up here is working in the hunting industry. And so I really thought about that deep. I could lose every deal I've got, and I could say, guys, man, you know, I got whatever I did that maybe give me an opportunity to speak on this podcast, but I don't have any money anymore. I lost all my contracts, and be honest, I don't even know if I got that hunting lease.
Yeah, we wouldn't talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be done. Like, son of a gun.
Sorry, get off. Sucker.
Yeah. We're wasting that space on you.
Dude, cut him out.
I'd eat ramen noodles for dinner tonight and have a Keystone Ice.
Yeah, I think.
That'd be fine, dude.
And that's what I'm saying, and I think that's what gets back to the front end. I think that's what it is, you know, what would that be and what would it look like? And I think a lot of my friends in the industry could be even happier, and some might literally – it could end really bad. It could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, for me, that's how I judge it. You know, Nick and I, we'll argue about things, but we're buddies, man. Regardless of where everything goes, we're going to be buddies to end. If I walk out of this, you know, this room right now and some dude jumps on me and starts, you know, jumping on me, try to fight me, well, I could be guilty of doing something worthy of me getting punched, but Nick's going to jump in, vice versa, and I gauge it by that. But I don't know, man. Sometimes I wonder. I think the simplicity of what we do in the hunting industry, we do get bought. We do sometimes get in a situation where we forget that in reality, we're not just selling the 170-inch deer. We're selling a culture. We're selling a campfire. We're selling kicking it with our homies.
For sure.
Having our girlfriends, our wives, and
dude,
kids.
That's why podcasting's so fun.
Yeah.
It's because, like,
you can talk about it.
We film hunts, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't have to.
We don't have to.
Right. But that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
And like we've said it too, like if we didn't have the podcast, we'd still be doing the same shit.
Well, exact the same stuff.
Well, that's how it gave us a reason to like try and commit to getting together once a week and having like a hunting camp vibe all the time.
That's why we started it, because we loved hunting so much, like and the deer camp vibe and like just
Well, that's the thing with
cutting
like,
up, drinking
what
beer,
sucks,
and
shooting, what don't suck,
right.
Shit, and y'all's opinion,
yeah.
So then we're like, why don't we just record it? You know,
that's why people have it. Like, we got a little popular over time, you know, and like known for podcasting. And then people, like, bitch about us cussing. And I've talked about it. I'm like, dude, it's fucking kind of happened on accident.
Right.
Like, we're just doing this anyway. Right. And we had fun with it, so we kept doing it. And then came a little opportunity, and we're still fucking cussing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we're still here. Guess what?
So, like, what would be better? Would it be better that we got a little following through podcasts, and then all of a sudden we changed, like, 3 years in? Or,
that's
you know,
great.
Or if we just kept fucking cussing, like, what's better? Like, they're gonna hate on us no matter what.
No matter what we do,
and we're just
someone's
doing,
gonna hate on
but
us.
But we're just doing at the basic thing. Like, okay, take the podcast away. Yeah. We're still gonna get together and drink beer once a week and talk about hunting
and act like idiots. Yeah,
and that's why it's like it's a lot of work to do it every week, but we're gonna do it anyway.
That's
the
exactly
only difference.
Right.
Is
might as well throw
this mic in my face.
Might as well throw a little work 100%. Behind it.
You know, like we just made it the benefit so we can hunt more. Really. Or have other hunting opportunities.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, like, I don't know. The same thing with you guys. You just loved hunting so much. It kind of like.
And still, today, I mean, there's nothing I would rather do than go hunting.
No, for
and
sure.
And it's not, you know, coming here and shaking hands with people or signing their ball cap or whatever. And, man, I just literally love animals. And that's where it all started for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's a deer or a turkey or an elk or whatever, I just love chasing them. I love knowing their habits and figuring them out and getting them down and getting my hands on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I soon found out I wasn't smart enough to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. And, so you went totally opposite of that.
Yeah, so rather than fix them up, I'd kill them, you know, get my hands on them.
A lot easier to kill them than fix them.
But that's what it's about for me is it's about the animals. And then as when I was a kid, that's how I got into it. But as it evolved – The camp life, spending time with people and building relationships. And, you know, you might go to, and I talked about this with a guy today. Say you go to Saskatchewan, you go into a bear camp with a guy, you spend 5 days with a dude hanging out, you eat dinner together. He goes hunting, you go hunting, you come back in, you share the story.
Yeah.
And you know the guy for 5 days, you learn him intimately. On day three, he's telling you about his ups and downs with his wife or his kids.
You guys
his brother
friends.
Died.
For sure.
You have a bond that lasts for the next 20, 30 years.
Absolutely.
Literally. Like, I have guys that I've only known for 5 days, and I'm still texting them.
Right.
I'm still in a relationship
cool
with
it,
them.
Yeah.
And that's what hunting is, man. It brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't have commonalities. You know, maybe this guy's from L.A. and this guy's from Saskatchewan.
For sure.
But everybody comes together and
for one common
together.
Thing.
That's oh, right. Dude, you know how many South African friends we have now?
It's great.
Oh, I bet y'all.
Awesome.
Yeah,
there's nothing cooler.
It's the coolest
it's
shit awesome. Ever.
It
you
is
know.
Well, that's crazy. That kind of gets back to what I was saying before. It's almost like if you think about. I don't know if anyone listening or even y'all sitting here, think about it. We've all been through these very tough times. I don't know what it is. It could have been a death in the family. It could have been trying to get rid of a vice in your life that's got you, that you're like, God, you know you want to get rid of it. It could be anything.
Right.
It could be when you get into a relationship, say, with a lady, or a lady with a dude. You know the first thing you think about is usually something very simple, like the romantic thought of getting an RV and just living off the land and, like, disappearing from the world. You know what I mean? Yeah, so if you think about it every time, so I guess the skill set.
Is that something you've been thinking about?
Yeah. I'm going to be like that Oak Ridge boy. I'm just going to move up to Appalachia. Who's coming down my road?
That's pretty specific.
He's going to sell his 600-acre pecan farm and get an RV and just him and his wife and little 7-year-old, 14 chickens, 18 goats, a dog, a cat, and a freaking parakeet. And they're just going to go out on the road.
And maybe we'll run into Matthew McConaughey out there still doing the same and drink some tequila with him.
That'll probably happen. Yeah.
If you're lucky. But I think
in reality, though, if you think about it, the skill set that we have about the camaraderie, the campfire, we can eat a squirrel. You know, Hank Jr. said, run a trot line, skin a buck, run a trot line.
Yeah.
It's almost like, wait a minute. We ain't got to worry about nothing. This is all we got to do. It's like, man, if you can kill a few squirrels, you know, we chase down a few bush light. We got a good night
for
denial.
Sure, for sure. But do people in, like, all right, we're in hunting, right? We all have that in common. Do people in
a different industry?
Name an industry. I don't know. Anything. Do they do this, like, deep camaraderie?
Like say the race car, like,
maybe.
Any kind
or
of car
the video
divisions.
Game industry.
Yeah. Are they,
you know,
getting
think
together?
Of these gamers. I think so.
I mean, they're
all in it because they love gaming. They love to play.
Furries do it. They get together and.
You know, furry,
whatever,
you know,
they do. I don't know.
I think so. Box. Probably just depends on
furries
what you're
might
into.
Love a little more.
You know, I don't. Well, to be honest with you, this is gonna be solid because this is a truth. You know, I got a bunch of NASCAR buddies, but you know what they did for camaraderie? They went hunting.
Yeah.
You know what all my country music buddies and even some of these pop stars I've met now and some people, you know what they do for real camaraderie? Go out in the middle of nowhere, freaking write songs with a campfire, and some of them go hunting, go squirrel hunting in the morning, go fishing.
Right. Well, man,
so if you think about it, it's the closest thing to you can do that's a natural, God-given.
Primal kind of deal.
It's a primal kind of deal. That is where it's born. I mean, okay, you can say, I'll go play golf. You know, it's fun, but it's a game. I thought about this the other day. Like, me and he's kind of a main guy at Bone Collector Jackson Bishop, but me and him were best buddies growing up. We played sports, baseball, football, and I'm a huge, you know, somebody who thinks it's great if you can play a team sport because it teaches you a lot.
For sure.
But I can't remember so much of the highlights or the lowlights of baseball other than the fact we played together, and I can remember some of the teams, whether it was the Pirates or the Mets or the 76ers or Roadrunners. Certainly where I went to school and played with the Manchester Blue Devils, we got all these cool stories, and we'll talk your ear off about living in the past, so that's where I know I'm getting old. But in reality, none of that was as important that I spent with him, nor my father, nor my best friends, other than in hunting and those experiences of a miss. I can still remember, you know, killing a 7-pointer out of the swamp stand. You know, where
that's why I think the other industries have it. It's just not a close.
I don't think it's as deep.
It's not as deep as hunting.
Yeah,
yes.
I can see that for sure. Hey, one thing kind of – this relates, I think, to it. But I quoted you a handful of times, and you said something on our podcast one time about – or maybe it was – I swear you said it on our podcast. Maybe I brought it up before. Or maybe it was a video on social. I just always remember you saying – because now I have young kids. And I don't know if I brought it up last year or not. Anyway, you said if something ever happens, find a guy in a camo hat.
Yep.
And I've said that – I've quoted you several times on the podcast just with other people. And that kind of relates to – like the good old boy thing that comes around. But
100%.
I just want to let you know, I think about that all the time since you said that.
It's one of the greatest things ever, and it's completely true. If you're in a situation where you need help, you find a guy in a camo hat. Number one, he's probably going to help you get through that hard time. He's going to help you find food, whatever it is. I mean, the trustworthy people, the redneck, you know, good down-to-earth, salt-to-the-earth people, and that's just
– yeah.
Well, listen, you know, sometimes I think that's the weird thing about where we at in society is being able to call a spade a spade. Sometimes what the hell is the spade. I mean, nobody knows a spade exactly. wants to be the club, but no, dude, yeah. you still look like a spade. Whatever.
The king right, wants to be a queen, story. You never know.
But, yeah. you know, it's funny. Like, if you think about it, if all of a sudden, you know, I use it, you know, I think about the whole, you know, say the man-woman thing, and you think about femininity, if that's the word, and sounds masculinity. Right. All right, it's close enough. People get it.
Yeah,
well, I always think about this. If there's a young lady in danger, which, you know, regardless of where and what women can do when it comes to a fight or in a situation this tough, you know, I've always thought that men and women were not equal. And what I mean by that, I've always thought men were not equal to the worthiness of what a woman presents, meaning fire breaks out, women and kids out first, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say this woman don't have us immediately here, but it gets back to our culture and who we are. If a woman runs out here, she's in danger, the building's on fire, who does she want to see? Now, I could be stereotyping and I could be judging somebody, but would you want to see a dude in a three-piece suit driving a Range Rover or some tricked-out Mercedes-Benz? Or would you rather run up on a guy that's got the dude, that's got the working class, you know, bow hunter sticker?
You want to see a dude with
and
the
bone
tattoo.
Collector, and he's got a little bit of jacked right. up truck with a Bass Pro Cabela sticker on it, and a few tats and a freaking, you know, Bush Light.
Yeah,
I can promise you, I want my daughter to find that guy.
For sure, yeah.
Not to say the guy with the Land Rover and Mercedes and the designer Italian shoes, but I promise you,
hands,
it's
yeah.
a little different. He's not going to know what to do. Matter of fact, I'm convinced that there is some of those dudes is going to be looking for us too.
Oh yeah.
So I do think,
especially nowadays, what's
I truly believe it. I really believe that we're the best that society has to offer.
Yeah.
I think we're the reason America's safe in conflict. I think we're the reason, and we are the guys. And I'm not saying, you know, there ain't a lot of city slickers driving Land Rovers that can't shoot a gun.
Right.
But inevitably, I'm telling you, we're not prima donnas. We are. We open beers for each other, dude.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's something simple. But you think about it, grown man say, "Hey, bro, here's your Colby." Now, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I do that for my wife. I do that for my friends. Like, here you go. Mix them a drink. Nick comes spend a bunch of time on the holidays with us, him and his wife. Man, we was over there. We was trying to look up recipes for old fashions and different drinks. I'm making him something. He'll go make me something.
He'll
put a wood on the fire.
Yeah.
And we far from gay. Far from it, son. I'm just trying to make sure. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
make
sure.
Once again, I'm sorry.
Check
Bush
all
Light.
The boxes.
I'm sorry.
Check
Bush
all
Light.
The boxes.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
It.
Dude, sorry.
God forbid. And so, Michael, I got, you know, something kind of totally off subject. So, with all that's going on in
politics,
that's
not like us.
With all the stuff that's going on in politics, I've never been big into politics. You know, as I get a little older, obviously getting more involved, and as corruption and politics and elections and all that stuff comes on, you know, now we're in a position where these states are trying to keep the guy that all of us want to be president, the guy that all of us want to be a leader.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep him off of the ballots now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where and when do we step in as a society and say enough is enough?
Yeah.
And put our foot down and stop the madness? Like, where does that stop, and how do we
3 years
how
ago.
How do you move forward into a situation like that where
we're edging on it real
when are we when close, when, yeah. when is enough and what happens in that kind of a situation, you know? Because like you're talking about going to a guy that has a camouflage hat on when you're in trouble, like the Target store that we go to. I mean, like, I go in there with my little girl, and she's six. We homeschool her because we don't really like what's going on in the school systems in our area.
Yeah.
So we go in there, and there's a 65-year-old dude in there that's got purple, green, and orange hair. That's a checkout guy. Don't know him. Probably a nice guy.
But is it a guy?
But as we walk up there,
assuming gender,
my little girl looks over at him and then looks up at me like, "What the heck is this crap?"
You know.
So you don't. You know, I'm not going to tell her. You know, definitely don't go to that guy if you need help. Go to the guy with the camouflage hat on.
It's weird.
At what point? You know, when do people put their foot down? And the majority of the people that we hang out with are in a tough spot because our. Yeah. Feel like our country's going to.
I think it's going to hit a point where it all just like rolls off the cliff. Maybe not.
We live in weird times.
But we're allowing it to get that far where like the purple haired dudes are just like, I think they're just going to obliterate themselves. Like, it's just going to get to the point where we'll kill those guys with rocks because we have to just stone them to death.
I mean, to a point.
Like
possibly with a Swiss cake roll. Eat it. You can't have it. Rub the lotion on the skin. Eat the Swiss cake roll. You're checking out.
It's weird times, man.
Drink the beer.
I said the joke, and it didn't come out right. I'm like, beat the target guy to death with a rock. And
we
like,
live.
You said murder somebody.
We live in a weird time.
I heard you had a good arm, Kurt.
Start over.
Throw that fastball.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't rely on that dude. Like he just gets to a point. Yeah, I got to think about it all the time too. It's like that's why I like kind of actively, but sarcastically in a joking way, kind of push against it with the show. It's like I say a lot of words that I like don't really mean, but I say it to be funny.
Yeah,
I agree. It's like it's me kind of like jokingly resisting like this society cultural creep on our people, really. You know, our people isn't like outdoorsmen and like or conservatives, maybe, even though I don't consider myself a conservative, but leaning that way for
or
sure.
Or just normal people, really.
Just normal people, down to earth human beings. Yeah. But I don't know. It's like, what do you do?
What do you do?
I don't know.
You know, I've always had like Nick said, my small theory on it. You know, I'm from the South, so the war, Northern aggression or Civil War, you know, I've studied it back and forth, and, you know, there's a lot of theories. I'm still not clear on exactly how it happened, but I think America still forgets sometimes. You know, we talk about all the wars, World War One, Two. We talk about what's going on in Ukraine. We talk about, you know, Jerusalem and everything going on with Hamas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we forget that almost 900,000 people, and that might be correct. I feel like, you know, if you Googled it, it's in the 800,000s of Americans lost their life in a civil war, so a conflict to where, you know, in the 1800s or 1870s, we got into a place to where we fought a war. So a lot of times, you know, you get the old thing, the Yankee versus the rebel or the Southerner versus the, you know, the Northerner. But in reality, it was pretty political, and there was a lot of different things. Obviously, slavery's in the forefront. Mm-hmm. But then you have to look at all too also, just like we see now, the facades or the propaganda that props everything up. But in reality, you know, you look at the Revolutionary War. Well, that was just a civil war, which was, you know, if you really study it, which people are thinking, holy shit, I didn't know what I even talked about, knew about this shit, dog. I'm educated. I read up on it.
And, he hosts a history podcast.
Yeah, man, I love history. I love Shakespeare and history. And so in reality, Lord's property.
Mr. Dissington.
And so, I mean, the Revolutionary War was the first civil war, and then we had it again. And so I think if you study and you look, I think it gets to a point to where it has to be pretty grim. It has to be where you feel like there's the point of no return.
Yeah,
and, right now, I don't think we're quite there because we're still able to have our freedoms to talk about this
subject
on our podcast. Yep. They can't do that in Zimbabwe. No. Mugabe cut that out. You know, can't do that in Cuba. You know,
we're
going
to get to a point it's going to be camel hat dudes versus target cashiers, and I'm ready for that.
But I think when it gets to that point of when we've lost it all, and we can't express these things.
We're forced
to have a certain vaccine or certain to do this or put this chip on you, and we start refusing. Or maybe they do go door-to-door and try to get our guns. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can tell you if they come for my guns, I got shit over my dead body. Well, most of the time, you know, it's hard if you think about it, even us alpha males, to think about somebody coming up and I can just picture some dude in a suit like, hey, you know, good to meet you, Michael. By the way, I like your show, but you know how it is, government, man, we got to get your guns. And I'm like, I didn't know. It's like.
Exactly.
Cam Nugent taught me everything I need to know right here, boy.
Yeah, this is the moment.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't see that.
That's a really good point, because you're the first guy.
I don't think it's going to go down like that.
I don't think it's going to go down.
I think what's going to happen is like, dude, well, first of all, come on in. My wife made some fried chicken. And at least for me, this is, I'm not saying everybody might be. Like, but bro, man, you know, what the hell's going on? Like, well, here's the deal, man. And I'm not saying it's going to be this way. I'm just thinking out loud.
That's like a fantasy for
it's
like
a fantasy.
That's how it could
happen. And they're coming to get it. But it I picture me saying, happen. I'm picture saying, like, well, this damn old 742, I can't hit a damn bomb with this thing. It's like, it jams. Like, here you go. Here's my guns. You know,
I give him his gun.
Like, I'm sorry, dude. I loved his gun. It was my granddaddy's gun.
That's all I got.
You didn't even check the back.
What if you're the first
house
dude they go to? You're the first house they go to.
Yeah, but I'm probably not gonna kill the guy.
No,
but if he comes up shooting at me, Well, I can promise you right now it's going to be Pickett's last charge. Study that. It's going to be Stonewall Jackson, Nathan Forrest, son. I'm going to be on it, and I might go down, but it's going to be in a blaze of glory. I don't think it's going to – so I think they think we're dumb enough that they're smart enough to think that there's things that they can pass over. So we got to be careful of it.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, what did old Hitler do? He convinced everybody to put this patch, identify yourself, and then he convinced people that really didn't even hate these people with the patch to eventually hate them. And so I think we're seeing some of that. So I don't know how far it's going to go. And, again, I know this is far from hunting people. Like, man, we don't talk about mock scrapes.
Mock scrapes to Hitler. We cover it all here on the show.
You never know what the hell is going to go on.
Working class.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think
there's
about
really,
it.
There's a relation there somewhere.
Inevitably.
Yeah,
I think,
it makes sense.
Well, it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah,
it's on everybody's mind.
We just going to have to distinguish evil from good. And I think there's a lot of both, and there's a lot of evil hiding under a good. What is the wolf in sheep's clothing? Mm-hmm. I think that's happening.
Yeah.
And so we just have to be smart. I don't think we need to dip down in a rabbit hole to get so conspiracy driven and crazy.
But
you got to keep your head on a swivel.
I think
you
so too, man.
It is. It
a
is.
Little bit.
I pay attention, man. And I tell you what I do, man, because I'm a bullshitter. Every in the airport, man, I talk to everybody. I'll see somebody looks like Hamas, and I go up to them like, "What's up, dog? Nice turban, man. I like that. I ain't never seen one like that, man. What, y'all can do any color?" and they're like, you know, and I notice, and most of the time what I've noticed is like, "Oh, no, we can still do it." You know, and they start telling me all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, or you know, I might be through the BLM. I go up to somebody who literally looks like freaking gangster paradise. You know, it looks like he's still somehow smuggled a Glock through Atlanta Hartsfield. And I'm like, "What's up, buddy, man? You hunt deer?"
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, I would say 95%. It's like, "No, man, you do?" It's like, "Yeah," and it's the most unbelievable. So when it comes to racism, it comes to all this stuff, I don't think there's way as much as what we think divides us.
Dude.
I think a lot of times it's a conversation. I purposely do it. My wife gets so mad at me. Like, "Why are you doing this?"
You're
like, I'll see a group of purple hair, big ass women that I know probably got to be dykes, you know.
And
like, "I'm gonna go talk to them. I ain't gonna hit on because I'm not interested. But I'm gonna see if I can have a civil conversation. Like, what's up, dog?
What's up,
dog?
What's up, guys?"
That's what they want. That's what they want you to say.
Yeah.
Bro.
What are all you dudes doing over here?
He called us dudes.
Some bros.
Misgender me. It's like,
most of the time, you know, it becomes a decent, fun conversation. Next thing you know, we're talking about something that's relatable. And we might so I think a lot of it just gets strange and weird. But I will tell you, I will have a conversation every once in a while. But I'm like, "Hey, man, what's up, buddy, man?"
Yeah,
and they're just looking at me, and I'm like, "Man, did Bush somehow kill your granddaddy?" You know, I'm thinking out loud. We must have bombed something in your neighborhood, and you over here about to jack my ass up. But then I'm looking at him like.
We're running short on time, but I know what you're saying.
But that's real.
I really
do. Try it. I, everybody listen, try that shit, man.
I really do think, like hood people and country backwoods people,
it's the same,
have
bro.
More in common.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
But it's this societal line.
Like, oh, for sure.
It's the same type of dudes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's
100%.
Just, we look different.
Because you know
different.
What? We eat collard greens and fried chicken, baby. Mm-hmm. We know it. We put pepper sauce and hot sauce on our food. It's exactly the same.
It is. It really is, I think.
Yeah.
But
I think. I think so too.
Well, boys, I appreciate all the hot takes. That's a cool thing.
We didn't get shit accomplished,
but that's the thing. Like,
guess what? Anyway, when I'm hunting mock scrapes,
this is what I love about like our podcast and why we have so much fun is it can be entertainment without having to drive down mock scrape education every episode.
Correct.
It doesn't even have to be about hunting.
You don't have to fucking do that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like just have fun.
Yep.
Just having a good time, man, and I always love being on y'all's show because I get a chance to vent, man. As y'all know, I'm a talker, and I like to vent. I have to kind of blow off my steam
you got
to get back
autism.
Set right. I do. I got autism. I got sins of my father. And so I'd have to, I'd have to blow off some steam.
You got that dog in you.
I do. I got that dog in me.
We need to get you in studio and just put out a 6-hour banger. Just go to town on a
just start
on a
barking.
Yeah. He got that dog in him. He's got that look like he's got buckwheat and a damn leg lock over here.
I can't believe y'all
got that camel tail.
I showed up with him with my Timber Rattlers belt, a members only jacket.
Got the biggest
that Jacquard Noir cologne. I had what else? I had. I didn't have no hair and bone chain. I couldn't find one before I got here. But it was straight throwback to the '80s. My buddy Jackson was like wanting to hug my neck, man. Like, God, dog boy, you just brought me back. If I'd had some parachute pants, I'd have wore them.
That's awesome.
And just a reminder, ladies, if you're listening, see,
they're not.
Well, for the 1.5 women that is.
Yeah, there's like three purple haired.
I'm gonna tell you what you're listening to. You listen to men that'll get you out of fire first. You listen to a man that still go to Motley Crue concert, and we got that damn Polo green bottle splashed on us, and we'll put you on our shoulders.
Yes.
And then, you know what? Totally expected and totally secure when, you know, God dang Vince Neil throw something at you, you can throw something back at him, and we happy with it. We still going to celebrate. Yeah. So, and we can keep you, whether you're a hefty girl or a little skinny girl, we can keep you up the whole show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll for at least 45 minutes.
Exactly. So, with some help on
So we old school men, man. Yeah. We old school dudes, and I'm glad that y'all keeping the old school tradition alive of just cooler talking and bullshitting and talking about these things that need to be talked about in hunting and in life. And I think we got to, because we're last of a dying breed. Let's face it. That's a fact.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so. Definitely are. Well, dude, I appreciate it. You guys are fun.
We could do this till the freaking sun comes up.
And if T-Bone hadn't lost a leg, he'd be here. Yeah,
We're recording with T-Bone in less than a week.
Dude, he's a man. So we love you, T-Bone. Yeah.
Cheers to T-Bone.
Cheers, baby.
T-Bone.
Thanks,
right
fellas.
On, baby.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks, boys.
Thanks for having us, man.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. See you next week.
Right on.
Peace.
Country. Rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.